Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 13th day of March 2023. I am thrilled to have back as a returning guest today Dr. Barry York, who is an author and co-host of the 3GT podcast, and he's also president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are going to be addressing the theme, Mercy, the Fruit of Biblical Worship. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Barry York.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on.
It's great to have you back on the program, brother. And why don't you tell our listeners more about 3GT, your podcast, which stands for Three Guys Theologizing.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, for a number of years, I've podcasted weekly, sometimes biweekly, with two of my friends. We call our podcast 3GT. It's a pastor, a parishioner, and professor talking about subjects that are interesting to the Christian life from a Reform perspective. It's a casual kind of round the table type of podcast where we're just speaking on different subjects. Sometimes we have guests on that have written books or can speak to a particular topic. And so we have a lot of fun just fellowshipping and talking together and sharing some thoughts with our listeners.
And who are your co-hosts?
My co-hosts are Kyle Borg, who is a pastor of the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. And then a friend of mine, Scott Hunt, who's an elder in a church. It's actually a daughter work of a church that I used to pastor out in Indiana. And Scott is a lawyer. He actually just became the prosecutor of Grant County there in Indiana. So these guys bring some knowledge to the table, pastoral experience, ruling elder experience. And so we have a lot of fun together.
Well, I've got to get them on the program sometime as well. And if anybody wants to...
Yeah, you...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say you would enjoy that.
I'm sure I would. And if anybody wants to listen to Three Guys Theologizing, 3GT, go to 3GT.xyz, 3GT.xyz. Now tell us about the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who I have been very familiar with for many years. In fact, I have, as you likely know already, have interviewed a number of the faculty members there, including you, obviously.
Yes.
So tell us about this fine institution.
Well, RPTS is the denominational seminary of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. It's the fourth oldest seminary in the United States. It was founded in 1810. And for about half of its existence, it has been located at its current spot, which is known as Rutherford Hall, there in Point Breeze in Pittsburgh. We are, you know, a relatively small denomination. We have usually 80 to 90 students at a given time in our master's program and probably another 25 or 30 in our doctoral program. But we also have lots of folks that audit classes on site or online. We have some programs for ruling elders and deacons that a number of churches subscribe to. So we do have that type of ministry going on. Our motto at RPTS is study under pastors, because all of our full-time professors are actually pastors. They either serve significantly as pastors. Some of us are still doing so. And so we really seek to, in the seminary classroom and the community there at RPTS, really approach our studies and our approach of training. I always promise incoming students and prospective students three things you'll get at RPTS. You're gonna get academic rigor. We are a confessional seminary, and we're happy living within our confessional boundaries and teaching those to our students. We also promise that you will experience devotional piety. It's a very, very worshipful place with chapel held every day and devotions and prayer taking place in the classroom and outside of it. And then very practical training. So we want to really help prepare, particularly preparing men to go into pastoral ministry. That's our bread and butter, the heart of what we really seek to accomplish at RPTS, although we do have lay people, both men and women, studying with us, for instance, doing things like our counseling program. So that's a short snapshot of RPTS.
And from what I know of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, which also has denominations globally, the primary differences, mm-hmm. the primary differences of which I am aware from your other major conservative, evangelical, biblically-based Presbyterian denominations, including the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Presbyterian Church in America, etc., is that as a whole, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America unanimously holds to exclusive psalmody in worship and also exclusive a cappella worship. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at least here in the United States or in North America, there is a prohibition of alcohol consumption. Am I right on all of those?
Not quite on all of them. The last one, there was a time when I first became a minister that you had to vow not to use alcoholic beverages, but that has since been overturned. So we encourage a moderate lifestyle, not a prohibitionist type of lifestyle. But with respect to our worship standards, yes, we sing the Psalms exclusively. We do it via a cappella singing. It's a historic practice of the early church. Matter of fact, that's the way Jesus sang them. And so we're thankful for that practice. It's been such a blessing. I did not grow up in this denomination and only came to it in my 20s as a young man. But that's been one of the blessings in my life, my family's life, the church's life, is just singing God's word back to him and meditating deeply on the scriptures as we worship.
It might interest my listeners to know that although I am not an exclusive psalmist, I am a believer in exclusive a cappella worship, as was the belief of Charles Spurgeon. He was also not an exclusive psalmist, but had no musical instruments in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he did not welcome them into the tabernacle either. In fact, the story goes that when, and I've never had this 100% confirmed, but every Spurgeon expert that I've asked this question, is this really something Spurgeon said? They all say, we don't know for sure, but it sounds like him. But somebody approached Spurgeon and said, Pastor Spurgeon, is it appropriate to have an organ in a church building? And Spurgeon said, yes, it is very appropriate as long as the pipes are filled with cement. But
yes.
Also, my listeners may be interested in hearing a three-part interview I conducted on the theme of a cappella worship with Pastor John Price of Grace Baptist Church of Rochester, New York, which is a confessional Reformed Baptist church. And I have to insert in here, this is a, today in the 21st century, a rare position for Reformed Baptists, but John holds to this position, and I interviewed him for 3 days on his book, which is Old Light on New Worship, Musical Instruments and the Worship of God, a Theological, Historical, and Psychological Study. And there were at least one brother from your denomination who endorsed the book, even though John does not hold to exclusive psalmody. And that was a dear brother, a giant of the faith who we just lost recently, who is now in eternity with Christ, Ted Donnelly. Who pastored your church in Ireland, correct?
That's right. Actually, Ted was a close friend and mentor to me. I just wrote a tribute to him. So I felt this loss tremendously because he was a father. We spent a lot of time together. When I entered into RPTS as a student 35 years ago this summer, at that time they required a year's worth of Greek before you came in, and I didn't have that. So they had an intensive summer Greek class. And I did not know who the man was, but when I came into this small class of just four students, Ted was teaching it. And walking into that classroom, I just realized I was in the presence of a master teacher as he not only opened up the Greek language to me, but did so with such a shepherding heart and pastoral ministry. And matter of fact, my father died in the midst of that class. And if it wasn't for Ted, I don't know if I would have continued on. So we've spent a lot of time together over the years, and so I'm very thankful for his ministry. And regarding John Price's book, Ted actually introduced me to that book many years ago, and you and John might like to know that I used that book in a class at RPTS called Ministry of Worship when I'm defending the a cappella singing of the church.
Cool. Well, I will definitely let John know that. And I don't know if I made this clear before. The church where I'm a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, does not share that opinion with me. So I just want to make sure I said that, because there are many people in my audience who associate with me with Grace Baptist of Carlisle, much to their dismay, I'm sure. But they do not practice a cappella worship or exclusive psalmody. And then, interestingly, you do have some churches that practice exclusive psalmody, but not a cappella, like Joel Beakey and those folks. But anyway, if anybody wants to learn more about the Reformed Presbyterian Church, I'm sorry, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, go to rpts.edu, rpts.edu. If you want to hear at some point later on, after this live program, my three interviews with John Price on exclusive a cappella worship defended, parts 1, 2, and 3, which are based on his book, Old Light on New Worship, Musical Instruments and the Worship of God, a Theological, Historical, and Psychological Study, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and go to the search engine and type in a cappella. That's A and then a new word, C-A-P-P-E-L-L-A. And you will get all of the interviews that I have conducted with John. Or you could type in John Price as well, just like The Price is Right. And you will get those interviews, and I hope that you enjoy them, no matter what position you hold. Well, this is quite an interesting topic that you have chosen. Mercy, the fruit of biblical worship. I have conducted many interviews on the subject of biblical worship, including one with one of your colleagues that is not at RPTS, but the former president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, Joey Piper, who I'm sure you know.
Yes.
He has conducted at least one interview with me on biblical worship, but I have never addressed it from the unique viewpoint of mercy being the fruit of biblical worship. So I am dying to find out what you had in mind when suggesting this theme.
Well, there's a good segue here, because as we talk about singing the Psalms or a cappella practice and worship, part of the reason those practices arise is through our understanding of the regulative principle. The regulative principle teaches that in matters of worship, we must take great care to do only what the Bible commands. And so a lot of Reformed Christians hold to the regulative principle, even though, as we're discussing here, we might have some different applications or understandings of how that might apply in a congregation or in a denomination. And one of the things that I teach in my ministry of worship class, it's actually the last lecture I do, is that as we think about worship, and by this time in the class, we've talked about our triune God whom we worship, the Sabbath day, the regulative principle, some of the elements of worship, all of the elements of worship, including preaching and the sacraments, ordinances, whatever you want to call them, of the Lord's Supper and baptism. We've talked through all of those things, and toward the end, we start talking about the fact that God doesn't want us to come into worship and remain unchanged. Matter of fact, that he really is looking, as we come before him, to be transformed, to be sanctified, and that there should be fruit emerging from our lives. And so sometimes the way that I approach this with the students is I say that there's another regulative principle of worship that you need to think about. Not only do you need to make sure that when we are conducting worship in the church, that we are following the dictates of Holy Scripture, but that there's also a biblical principle that insists that our worship is to regulate us. So we think sometimes about regulating worship, but we need to remember that worship is to regulate us. And in particular, I believe the Lord is looking at us as we worship and making sure that we are and calling us to a life of taking care of the poor, the needy, the widow, and the orphan as we ought to do. And there are a lot of scriptures that testify to that. You can think of there at the end of chapter 1 of James, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. We are to show that we have a true faith in Jesus Christ, as James goes on to teach in chapter 2, by exhibiting a care and a heart for others. Matter of fact, James chapter 2 starts off with James giving an anecdote about, you know, being in worship and a rich man comes in and everybody goes and pays favor to the rich man. And then a poor man comes in and they sort of just say, well, you just go sit over there and don't really give him the attention. And he goes on to teach how important it is that our faith is exhibiting true Christian love and care for the poor and the needy in our midst. One of the other passages I would just point you, Chris, and our listeners to is in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus talks about his return in glory, and it's the story he tells of separating the sheep and the goats. And everyone will recall that, you know, Jesus said, I was lonely and you visited or you didn't visit me. I was in prison, you did the same, or you didn't do that. I was hungry, you fed me. And of course, the response of the sheep is, when did we do those things to you? And he said, when you did it to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done that unto me. And I remind the students that there's a great day of the Lord coming when he will return, and he's going to do this very thing. He's going to separate the world into two groups. Yes, we can call those two groups the elect and their reprobate, but the way that it's going to be visible to those on judgment day of who the elect and reprobate are not only the fact that they've been justified by faith or have rejected the gospel, but that they also will bear fruits in accordance with that true faith in Jesus Christ. That's going to be clear on the day of judgment. And when we come into God's house every Lord's day, I always tell my students or people when I'm leading them in worship, you know, we're one step closer. We're 1 week closer than we were the last time we were together, and we need to be making sure that we're preparing ourselves as we worship the Lord for that great day of the Lord. And one of the ways that we are to be doing that is by heeding his voice to exhibit care for the lowly and the needy, and making sure that we're really bearing the fruit that we're called to bear as the Christian church. So I'll pause there and see how you respond to that.
Well, I love everything you said, and I will respond, and perhaps our listeners will respond with questions when we return from our first commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Barry York, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say we are discussing something with which you agree and your own pastors do not agree, and you'd rather not identify yourself. Well, I could completely understand that. Perhaps you're even a pastor, and your fellow elders don't agree with you, or your denomination doesn't agree with you. Or it could be a whole number of scenarios that would lead you to want to remain anonymous. We understand that, but if you're just asking a general question, please provide your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group, and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing deal. If you purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, 100% of the profits will go directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whether you're purchasing something that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com for $100 or more, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like you're getting an engagement ring created and custom designed, or you're getting the logo for your church, the logo for your parachurch ministry, the logo for your seminary, the logo for your denomination or whatever else your imagination and creativity can conjure up that you want turned into a physical piece of jewelry, RoyalDiadem.com are absolute masters at this art. I've seen what they do firsthand. Go to RoyalDiadem.com and start exploring the options that you have as soon as possible. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale to our audience. But please go to that website as soon as you can to start the ball rolling if you have any intention on getting a custom design piece of jewelry created or just purchasing something they have in stock. That's RoyalDiadem.com, RoyalDiadem.com. Always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. We are now back with our guest today, Dr. Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're discussing mercy, the fruit of biblical worship. We have a question from Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and it's not quite at the on the heart of our discussion today. It has something to do with what we were discussing earlier. She asks, I heard that you both say you believe exclusively in a cappella worship. Does that mean you believe that there is no place at all for musical instruments anytime, anywhere in the body of Christ? Well, let me just quickly answer on my part, and then Dr. York will answer what he specifically believes. I love instrumental music. I love listening to it on the radio. I've purchased many CDs of instrumental Christian music. I go to concerts on occasion. I have nothing against a church having a concert that includes musical instruments or a fellowship gathering outside the corporate scheduled Lord's Day worship where folks use instrumental music. I am just speaking of the corporate gathering on the Lord's Day. What do you have to say about that, Dr. York?
Yes, I would agree. I have daughters who play the piano wonderfully or violin and also enjoy music of all shapes and varieties. Our position has to do with just what we believe the scriptures teach with respect to the instruments as they were used in the Old Testament really being associated with the sacrificial system and with the coming of Christ, that his death and resurrection, his atonement for our sins, really fulfilled all that the sacrificial system was signifying. In the Old Testament, if you study the instruments, you'll see that in the tabernacle, then particularly in the temple, when the instruments were introduced, that they were to be performed by the Levites. And so we just see it as, and they accompanied the sacrifices. And so that's why we don't practice them anymore in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. We believe that all those instruments signified, such as the trumpet signifying the presence of the king, or the harp, the peace that comes in a relationship with God, has all been granted to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the New Testament, when we're instructed to sing, such as in Colossians 3:16 or Ephesians 5:19, if you look at it very closely, it says that we're to make a melody, but it says to make a melody in our hearts to the Lord. And actually the Greek word for making that melody is a word that means to play a stringed instrument. So the idea is that our redeemed hearts are the instrument. The joy of our redeemed hearts is the instrument that the Lord wants to hear as we worship as God's people. But outside of the worship, we have a lot of freedom to enjoy the good gifts that God has given to us.
Yeah, I would even compare it to painting and drawing. I love, in fact, I'm an art major. I not only love observing and appreciating Christian artwork, and artwork of all kinds, as long as it's not displeasing to God and as long as it does not break the second commandment. But I also enjoy, although I don't do it as nearly as much as I used to, drawing and painting myself. But I would not want that to be a part of a worship service. I mean, I think that that is kind of a parallel, because I'm not saying that all these different things in the arts are prohibited to Christians on all occasions at any time and place. But there are certain things that we should not do in a worship service. Even the world-renowned Olympian athlete, Christian athlete, Eric Liddell, for whom Chariots of Fire, the book and film, classic film, were created. He ran for the glory of God. I wouldn't suggest, or would, if I was in the leadership of a church, I would not permit somebody running around the congregation just because they were doing it for the glory of God. So that's my two cents anyway, but thank you for your answer as well. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, from my study of church history, I understand that the Reformed Presbyterians were among the very first Christians in the United States who opposed slavery. Is that true? And I could chime in immediately by saying yes, because I interviewed a member of that denomination, Robert Copeland, on his book, A Candle Against the Dark, Reformed Presbyterians and the Struggle Against Slavery in the United States, which you can hear on the in the archive or from the archive of ironsharpensironradio.com. If you type in Robert M. as in Michael Copeland, C-O-P-E-L-A-N-D, you will be able to hear that interview. But anything you have to say, Dr. York?
No, except that Robert's a good friend of mine, and we've had him teach this material at RPTS, and he knows how to tell a good story. So it's not just the dry facts about the Reformed Presbyterian Church's involvement, but just some really good stories of how God worked through that movement, many ways that God saved lives in that anti-slavery movement. So I would commend that book to your listeners.
In fact, even though that would seem on its surface to be off topic, it does involve mercy, obviously.
Yes.
If you could, tell us, what are the elements that you believe are inherent to true biblical mercy? Some might just use it as a synonym for forgiveness. I know that forgiveness is certainly involved in mercy, but what else could you say about mercy?
Well, a number of things. So just to show that this is part of our Reformed heritage and my study on this topic, I went back to the old Westminster Directory of Public Worship and was fascinated to find a real attention there. You know, when we have a question in our shorter catechism on how the Sabbath is to be sanctified, and it talks about how we have the duty during that day to keep the day holy, to not engage in worldly employments and recreations, but spend the day in public and private worship. And then it has that last clause on there. It says, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. And you can almost read that last phrase as a reluctance. Well, if you have to do something, it's necessary, then yeah, you can do that. Or if you have to show some mercy, yeah, you can do that. But I don't really think that's the spirit of that. It's like, these are important things that have to be done on the Sabbath day as well, the necessary things and merciful things. And I think that's backed up by the Westminster Directory for Worship because, for instance, in its section on celebrating communion, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it instructs the church that a collection for the poor is to be ordered so that no part of the public worship be thereby hindered. And it's been a heritage of many Reformed churches that during times of communion, they would set an offering aside to take care of the poor in their community. And part of the reason for that is, what better place than when you're remembering your own spiritual poverty before God and how the Lord gave his own lifeblood and broke his own body for you, you should then in turn to think about how he became poor so we could become rich spiritually. You should turn around and think about others who are less fortunate than you are and care for them. In the Directory of Public Worship, it also has a section on how to sanctify the Lord's Day, much like the Catechism instructs. And it talks about all the things we can do on the Lord's Day, their spiritual exercises, going to public worship, meditating on sermons. It talks about repetition of sermons, which doesn't mean the preacher preaching them again, but people sitting around their tables reflecting on what lessons they learned from the message. and catechizing. But then it goes on and it says this, here's some other things that you should be doing, visiting the sick, relieving the poor, and such like duties of piety, charity, and mercy, accounting the Sabbath a delight. And one of the things that you find when you study the Sabbath day in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament, but particularly in our Lord's practice of it, you see that this is to be a day where mercy is extended to others. It was a day in the Old Testament when tithes were to be collected, and those in part distributed to the orphans and the widows in a community. We see Jesus, one of the fascinating things in the Gospels, I think it's like 56 times the Sabbath day is mentioned in the four Gospels. And a couple of times those are just time references, but most of the time it's describing the Lord's activity on the Sabbath day. And it's the day where he was so busy healing people and caring for people. And there's some of his greatest miracles were done on the Sabbath day, like the guy, the person at the Pool of Siloam who had been lame for all those years, and the healing of the blind man, and those types of things that took place on the Sabbath day. And so this is quite a rich teaching, I think, in the scriptures. And really part of our Reformed heritage is to think of the Sabbath day as a day that we should be using in part to take care of the needs of the others, just like our Lord did.
We have an anonymous listener who is actually responding to the very things that you were just saying. The anonymous listener says, I, an occasion on the Sabbath, will assist neighbors, the elderly, and the disabled doing chores that they cannot do themselves. It might involve mowing a lawn. It might involve doing minor repairs on a home. Do you believe that this is appropriate for the Sabbath? Because there are those that are critical of one doing those things, even if they are doing them as acts of mercy for others and not for yourself.
Well, one of the things I would say is I try not to play Sabbath day policeman too much, where I'm sitting here judging other believers for what they're doing on the Lord's day. I often just want to make sure that I'm honoring the Lord in the way that I'm keeping it. But certainly if there is a need and it can't be met, Jesus said if an ox falls into a pit, even the Pharisees would get their ox out of the pit. And so if there are some legitimate needs that are neighbors have that we can use the Sabbath day to meet, I would do that. I do try to avoid, like, we have an elderly widower living next door to us, and some of those more strenuous jobs I would try to either do on a different day or have, you know, sometimes the people in the church come and help him. I tend to use the day more for visiting, for taking meals, less strenuous activity. But then again, I am not going to sit here and judge someone if they're trying to use their time to care for those in need.
Thank you, Anonymous. Excellent question. Going back to the actual manifestation or fruit of mercy in the lives of worshipers, please give us some more detail about the actual acts of worship, that if they are being done in spirit and in truth, according to the scriptures, will bear this fruit of mercy.
Well, this subject really arose in my own life and ministry when I was back doing church planting work in Indiana in a town north of Indianapolis called Kokomo. It's a primarily a blue-collar town, and there was a lot of people as we were doing door-to-door work and trying to minister in the community. I just really, to be honest, I got overwhelmed with the needs that I was facing as a small church plant effort. A lot of single moms and people in poverty situations asking for help, and I felt ill-equipped at the time to really know what to do in meeting those needs. And one of the things that I did after I got some counsel from some older pastors is I actually just started preaching on this subject. I ended up doing a four-month preaching series years ago on ministering to the poor. And as I dug into the scriptures, I began to see just how this subject is, the scriptures are just saturated with it. And you see in the law of God, particularly the Pentateuch, the Lord, as he's thinking about his people going into the promised land, one of the things you realize is not only was Joshua going to lead the people in there and to drive out the wicked, but that God wanted to establish that land as a model place of justice and mercy in the world. Now, Psalm 68 pictures the Lord like a mighty warrior riding through the wilderness, leading his people into the promised land. And yet the very opening verses of that psalm, Psalm 68, talk about how tender God is toward the orphan and the widow, and that he wanted to come and bring justice and mercy into the world as he had his people establish the promised land. And as you see the Lord making provisions for caring for the orphan, the widow, the stranger, there's a lot of emphasis on taking care of what we might today call the immigrant or the foreigner in the land, like in the book of Deuteronomy, for instance. It's amazing that there's this gospel implication in it all, because over and over again, when the Lord is commanding his people to take care of the needy, he'll remind them, he'll say, remember that you were strangers in Egypt and I came to you. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and I set you free. And so that's the motivation for doing this is it's an awareness of what God's done for me in the gospel and setting me free from my sins, my spiritual slavery, my spiritual poverty. Then if I'm really understanding what the Lord has done to me, my heart should be ready and willing then to go and extend that kind of mercy and grace to others, both spiritually and physically, I believe. So as that began to work out in our ministry, I began to realize, you know, a lot of people are busy. And like our last listener in his question, you know, a lot of people say, I don't have time often because their lives are so full of work and family and other activities they have going on. And I'll say, well, what about the Sabbath day? Because there are times on the Sabbath day where we should be free from those other worldly concerns. And those are wonderful times for us to go and visit a neighbor, take a meal to someone in need, to try to just use that time in gainful ways to remind people of our care and love to them. And
let's pick up where you left off. We have to go to our midway break, but we'll pick up right where you left off. And please be patient with us, folks, because the middle break is a bit longer than the others, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because the FCC requires of them to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements while we air our globally heard commercials. So please be patient with us, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Dr. Barry York, we just have a couple of more important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you love the show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your professional private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, whether it is your church, your parachurch organization, or even if it's just a special event that you want to promote. As long as whatever it is compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We are just as much in urgent need of your advertising as we are in your donations. Please remember, I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience to cut in to the giving to your own local church where you are a member, the giving that you have set aside, that amount that you are accustomed to giving your own church on the Lord's Day. Don't cut into that to bless us financially. Never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. Two things that are very clear in the Bible about finances is that we are to provide for our churches and our families. Giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want it to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, I want to remind you, if you are a man in ministry leadership, the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon is taking place on Thursday, April 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring two excellent guest speakers, Dr. William Webster, who is a Banner of Truth author, and also Reverend David T. King, who is the associate pastor of Christ Church in Katy, Texas, which is a member of the Presbyterian Church in America. This is absolutely free of charge, and not only will you be able to get free admission and a free meal, both spiritually and physically, every man attending is going to leave with a heavy sack of free brand new books selected by me personally from major publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So that is an added bonus, and a huge added bonus is that you will be leaving with many free books. Also, on the 3 days following that free luncheon, there is a free 3-day Bible conference that I am arranging with those same two speakers. It will be held at a different church, Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The theme is the gospel removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. That is Friday, the 14th of April, Saturday, the 15th of April, and Sunday, the 16th of April. If you want more details on these free events, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put luncheon and or conference in the subject line, depending upon which one you want to attend, hopefully both. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, no matter where in the world you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live, as I have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. So if you are in the position of not being a member of a biblically faithful church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I Need a Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question for our guest today, Dr. Barry York, and that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Dr. York, right before the break, you were in the middle of answering my question about how specifically our biblically faithful, Christ-honoring worship will bear fruit in the acts of mercy, and you were in the middle or towards the end of explaining that, and if you could pick up where you left off.
Yes, thank you, Chris. So I was just talking about how the Lord has established his people to be the places on earth where mercy is reflected, because the God who's been merciful to us desires for us to have a witness here in this world as his prophet, priests, and kings of exhibiting that kind of mercy to others around us. And when you look at these laws, they originate as Israel was coming into the promised land. You get laws like Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and awesome God who is.
Are you there, brother? You cut out. Hello, brother.
Just I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Do you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I do.
I do. Yes. Okay. Sorry. I don't know what I was just reading from Deuteronomy 10, which says, I was just explaining how these poverty laws that we find get echoed down through the scriptures. We see them as God's people are going into Israel. And God says, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and widow, loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. And so we see that these commands are based on the mercy that God has shown his people. And I alluded to Psalm 68 earlier. In verses 4 and 5, it says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exult before him. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. And I think we come into the New Testament, as we've mentioned earlier, you see Jesus exhibiting this heart of God and the mercy that he showed to so many, and feeding the 5,000 and healing the sick, particularly doing many of his miracles on the Sabbath day. And then as the early church is formed, one of the very first things that happens, a crisis there in Jerusalem, recorded for us in chapter 6 of Acts, is the need to care for the widows. And you'll recall that the apostles were doing this work, so they saw it as part and parcel of their work, but because they needed to make sure they didn't get distracted too much from their ministry of prayer and the word, they appointed what we often recognize as the first deacons of the church and those seven men who took over this responsibility. And one of the fascinating outcomes, Chris, of that story is found in verse 7. I've always found this intriguing, because after these men are appointed and they start ministering to those widows there, it says this in verse 7, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And then it says a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And I've always wondered, why did Luke include that detail in the story? And I started thinking, you know, it was the priests who had the responsibility to care for widows. That was their appointed responsibility. And I think these men in Jerusalem, seeing the early church, seeing the gospel transform lives, and then seeing these deacons doing the job that they were supposed to be doing and really caring for people but neglecting it, I think they were convicted, drawn to the Christian faith. And that's why many of them, we're told here, were converted. And as I looked at these, you know, these poverty laws and just how they kind of echo down through the scriptures, you find many of them in the epistles and instructions to the church. You see the Apostle Paul, as he's being sent out by the apostles, he's told not to forget the poor. He's told, remember the poor, the very thing he said he was eager to do. It just led me to think about practical ways we in the church need to make sure that our Reformed worship, our biblical worship, is really following, you know, again, what I'm calling this other regulative principle, and producing the fruit the Lord desires. And there's a few practical ways that I think we can do that. First of all, if we're leading in worship, we should be heightening our congregation's awareness of the fact that as they come before the Lord in worship, that one of the things they need to realize is that the Lord from on high is examining their lives, and they're to be using their time there under the ministry of the word to be looking at their own lives and making sure they're producing the fruit that the Lord wants from them. One of the things that I've appreciated about singing the Psalms, and again, this is one of the ways that God taught me this, is there's so much in the Psalms about the subject, about remembering the poor. One of the things that's so important in ministering to the poor is to remember your own poverty. And so often the psalmist is just crying out, I am poor and needy. And then remembering, like in Psalm 146, that the Lord, Jehovah, is the one that cares for the poor. I think we have to be really careful to make sure that the rich and poor are worshiping and fellowshipping on equal ground in our congregations. Back in my ministry in Indiana, We had a lot of men because of our proximity to a rescue mission and also some of our deacons working there. We had a lot of men from that mission coming and worshiping with us. And we had to make sure that our people were ready to meet them with hospitality, to invite them to sit with them in worship or sit with them around a fellowship meal. All of that was really important. We found that it's very important in ministering to the poor to remember that what they need more than anything is praying for them and preaching to them, that that's far more powerful than political help or, you know, politicians doing things for them, that they really need the church to come next to them and guide them and teach them his ways. I think biblical compassion, you know, I learned this from Marvin Olasky's book, The Tragedy of American Compassion, where he does a historical study of why immigrants that were coming to our country in the 18th century and early 19th century were ministered to and really became those who transformed our country into the great country that it is. And he compared that to the way that the poor are treated in our day and age. And one of the things that Olasky taught in this book is that we've kind of lost the whole idea of what compassion means, because the literal word means to suffer with someone. And so often Americans get this mentality that caring for the poor means that I'm better than they are, and so I'm going to give them what I have. Whereas really biblical compassion is not to think that we're better than anyone, to realize that we've received mercy, and then we come and we walk alongside someone, we suffer alongside someone, we learn about them so that we know how to truly help them because we truly know them. So those are some of the, you know, the practical outworkings, I would say, that should come as we worship the Lord, who is a God of the orphan and the widow.
We have another anonymous listener who says, I hope this is no offense to you or to any other Reformed listeners, because I happen to be theologically Reformed myself. But one thing that has always troubled me as long as I have been a Reformed Christian is that it seems that the minority of compassionate evangelistic mission work in inner cities is done by Reformed Christians. The Pentecostal and charismatic churches seem to have cornered the market on this. That is, if you are evangelical, of course, many liberal denominations have cornered the market on these kinds of evangelistic efforts, but they are devoid of the gospel. Do you think that Reformed Christians should rightly receive a loving rebuke to challenge us to be more motivated and involved in these kind of endeavors, like feeding and clothing the poor, reaching out to the prostitutes, the homosexuals, the AIDS patients, etc., etc.?
I think it's a great question, Chris, and in part I would agree with our listener. I do think that a lot of Reformed Christians, because of what happened over the last century with the social gospel and liberal theology, that they see the church really left preaching the gospel and began to just be involved in the social works. And so sort of a response or reaction against that is, well, we're not going to fall into that trap again, so we're going to go over here and just focus on preaching and theology and the like. And I understand that, because you don't want to lose your preaching. I think that's where preaching, though, can recapture this in the Reformed world. And I would remind our listeners that some of the greatest movements of awakening and revival and reform have come with a lot of mercy enacted at the same time. So George Grant's done a lot of good work in this area, and he points out the fact that Calvin at Geneva had a French fund, as there was these thousands of immigrants coming from France into Switzerland, and they were having to take care of them. And the ministers and deacons administered this fund. And it wasn't just handouts. They were using these funds to help train these poor immigrants and new skills that would help them to survive there in Switzerland. During the Great Awakening, George Whitfield was very concerned for the poor. There's anecdotes of Benjamin Franklin, who said that he loved to go listen to Whitfield preach, but before he did, he emptied his pockets because he knew that when he appealed for people to give to the orphanages, he wouldn't be able to refuse that. Spurgeon, you're aware of Spurgeon. Part of his ministry, he had a couple of deacons that were just so key in establishing hospitals and orphanages there in London. And so I think history shows that there has been a wedding between faithful gospel preaching, Reformed theology, and the care for the poor. I don't think that we have to say it's one or the other. But I do believe, as you just said, that there's a bit of a battle that we have to face, a battle against wrong approaches to caring for the poor, whether that's churches that are doing things that I think often are hurting rather than helping. There's a book with that title in it. Or, of course, our government, which has gotten so involved in this whole matter.
Well, let's, because of that very insightful question and challenge, how do we make sure that these works of benevolence that we and or our churches as a corporate body are involved in are clearly Christian acts of benevolence rather than just your average soup kitchen that, and please, I don't want any of my listeners to think that I am downplaying any importance for that kind of a work. I'm glad that there are people feeding the poor out there, as long as they are not poisoning their minds with a false gospel. But even if it's a secular organization feeding the poor, some kind of benevolent organization, charity, I'm all for that. But obviously, I am much more enthusiastic and excited about it when a church is conducting such things. What are the things that we should be reminded of? What should be included in all those kinds of benevolent activities, acts of mercy, to make sure that everyone who is the recipient of these acts of mercy knows that they are coming from those who are disciples of Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, and it takes a lot of wisdom. And I think we have to really go back and realize that God's word has the answers to these things. And that's the way reform always begins, is by a clear return to God's word to address the issues of our age. And I do think that there is a lot of wrong-headed mercy ministry being done, particularly even in the name of Christ that's being done, where well-meaning people are seeking to help others but don't realize that they're actually hurting. There's a book you may be familiar with, When Helping Hurts, by two men named Corbett and Fickert, and they have done a lot of ministry work and training really around the world. And in this book, they talk about how so often the Western world, in trying to help address issues of poverty, are actually hurting people rather than helping. For instance, we may see some village in Africa where people are lacking clothes and shoes and things like that. And we say, well, we're going to address that problem. And so we get all the extra shoes and clothes that we have here, and we collect them and we box them up and we send them over to Africa. And we don't realize that we've just put the local clothing guy or woman who's sitting there sewing day and night trying to make a living, we just put her out of business because we thought that we would be helpful. And one of the things that they talk about in this book is the fact that we often here in the West have what they call a God complex or a Messiah complex, where we think that we are really better than the people that we're trying to help, that we have the resources, that we have the strength, that we have the wisdom that they need, instead of really, again, coming alongside in that sense of Olasky was saying, and learning to suffer with people and walk with them and to really talk and interact with them and think about what might be most helpful to them. In this book, they tell the story of a church's ministry to a government housing complex where at Christmas, they would collect all these clothes and gifts and food that these families needed, and they would bring them to this government housing complex and give them to people living there. And they began to notice year by year that every time the door opened, it was a woman, that even in the places where there was a father present, he wouldn't show up. And they began to realize that they were embarrassing and shaming the father and the husband of this household by giving his family things that that he couldn't provide. And so they devised a way of these men doing some work where they could earn credit in order to take these gifts and then let the father come and give the gifts to the family. And I just think thinking through issues like that is how churches would be better equipped. And I think actually kind of win back some of the area that we've lost in this regard and how to do a biblical mercy ministry properly.
And let's see, another questioner, Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, says, do you think that these acts of mercy are more effective when conducted by individual Christians who are sent out from my local church, or when the actual church is involved in them, or is there really no difference and both are completely acceptable and equivalent in many ways?
That's a great question, and I almost feel like your listeners are just kind of setting me up each step along the way here. I do think there are places for both. I think there are places for individuals to do things. I think there are places for more of the corporate body to do it. But I think what often happens is when we start even talking about the subject, we can all start feeling guilty. We start thinking, well, we need to form a committee at our church and we need to have a soup kitchen or a clothing or food pantry. And that often can be the response of God's people. What I think what we need to do first and foremost is to train our people to be merciful as individuals and in their families. And I think that's the real thrust of the scriptures, that
brother, you've cut away again. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Am I back?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. I was saying that in Matthew 25, on that passage of the sheep and the goats that I referenced earlier, that when Jesus is talking to his people, he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was a stranger, you let me in. And so I do think we need to think about this on a personal level, primarily, that it should start there. One of the great books on the subject is the prophet Isaiah, where the theme of that book, one of the great themes of that book really is that God's people honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, that they offer the outer forms of worship that he's commanded, but it's despicable to him because they are not taking care of people the way that they ought to do. And then he says in chapter 58, they're saying, well, God, we fasted before you. Like, we do all these religious acts before you. And God says, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, like our own family members. And God really brought this home to me. For 10 years of my life, I had to take care of my own mother, who was mentally ill, who had been divorced by her second husband after my father died. And it was a very difficult time in my life. And there were times where I was struggling to fulfill these commands, even as a pastor, and had to learn a lot about caring for my own mom, who was struggling with mental illness, would run away from our house, would not practice hygiene. There's a whole story I could tell you of that, because eventually my mother was converted in a dementia ward. I saw God act toward the end of her life in a wondrous way. But it was not before he taught me a lot of lessons about what I'm trying to share with your listeners. So I do think that we have to first and foremost think about this on a personal level. But then, sure, there are needs in a community that one person or family can't meet on their own. And I think that's when the household of God needs to come together, particularly through their deacons, and find ways to take our resources and to meet those greater needs that exist in a community.
Now, you said something that I'm praising God with you to hear about your mother. One of those things that we who are Reformed get a little antsy about or nervous is when we hear the word miracle thrown around. And of course, that word is abused quite frequently in the body of Christ. But would you consider what occurred in your mom's case a miracle? I mean, she was in a dementia ward, and from your understanding, you believe that she embraced the gospel.
Yes. And when I say miracle, I mean the miracle of conversion. You know, it's a miracle anytime when God's grace is enacted. It's the greatest thing that can happen to anyone, is them to be brought from death to life. If my mom was resistant to the gospel, resistant to me, she was a great mom when I was growing up. I mean, she took care of me. I love my mom. But when she fell and spiraled down into this mental illness, I think because of my father's passing primarily, she just didn't have the foundation. She was in a liberal church, and she just did not have the foundation to continue on. And so she was in and out of mental wards and just dead. I would go visit her when she was in an assisted living place. I'd be there 5 minutes, and she would say, "It's time for you to leave." You know, and this was my mom. But when she ended up having to go into a dementia ward, our church began to hold chapel services there, and just a whole different couple of things that the Lord used in my mom's life. All of a sudden, this woman was transformed in the simplicity of her mind. I would walk into the dementia ward, and my mom would see me, and she would laugh. She hadn't laughed for years. And she would smile, and she would say, "There's my boy, the big guy who preaches the Bible." And every time you asked mom why she was happy, she would say, "Jesus makes me happy."
Wow.
And the weekend that she passed away, my brother happened in God's good providence to be there with her. And she started talking about going home, which she had never done. And she talked about going home, and my brother said, "Mom, where's home?" She says, "It's where God is. I want to go be with God." And so, yes, I praise God that in his great mercies, he clearly converted my mother.
Praise the Lord. And I was so delighted that my own mother came to Christ after being raised and living as a Roman Catholic, always a very sweet, lovely, gentle, humble, sacrificial, and generous woman. She was living a life enslaved to an idolatrous religion of the false gospel, and she recanted all of it on her deathbed, dying of pancreatic cancer. It was clear that she was trusting in the finished work of Christ alone while she was in her last days. And she renounced prayer to saints and veneration of images and all that kind of thing. So I share with you an experience of witnessing my dear precious mother come to saving faith. And I have no doubt at all that I will be seeing her when I enter eternity as well. We are going to be going to our final break right now. And if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Barry York.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to thestandardbeardcare.com, where the standard is the standard.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Welcome back, Dr. York. We have a question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, who wants to know if you are aware of any books available in print, either old or new, that lay out these principles of which you are speaking.
I talked about George Grant. He has a couple of books that would be helpful in this regard. He has more of a historical work that looks at some of these stories I've told called The Micah Mandate. So that's a helpful book. He also has a book called Bringing in the Sheaves. It really helps churches walk through a process toward instituting mercy ministry in a local congregation. And then I might point to one, if you don't mind this, Chris, one RPTS resource. I did a class that's available to the public called Deacons in Mercy Ministry, where I teach on how deacons can set up a mercy plan for their congregation. And that would be available on our website. If you go to the rpts.edu website and go to our resources tab, and then we have a place called Applied Theology for the Church where that resource can be found.
So that would be an audio resource?
A video, yes.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, great. Well, folks, we are out of time. I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the information that they need to get in touch with Dr. York and also learn more about Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. First of all, the seminary website is rpts.edu. RPTS, standing for Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary.edu. And also, don't forget about the 3GT podcast, which stands for Three Guys Theologizing, and that's 3GT.xyz, 3GT.xyz. I want to thank you, Dr. York. As always, you have proven to be a very wonderful, superb, enlightening, and edifying guest. I look forward to having you back on the program. And I want to thank all of our I want to thank all of our listeners, especially those who took the time to write in questions today. I want to remind you that the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon is Thursday, April 13th, and that is at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And also the three-day Bible conference, also free, is April 14th through the 16th. That is Friday through Sunday at a different church, Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Both of these events featuring Dr. William Webster, a Banner of Truth author and pastor in Battleground, Washington, and the Reverend David T. King, a PCA pastor of Christ Church in Katy, Texas, who are both speaking at both of those events. If you want to register for free for either or both, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.